Yes, sir. By the way, Monty Kiffin might have had Dick LeBeau beat for age as defensive coordinator by the time they were done. Speaking of vacations, on the text line, they already said Vacation Friends. That's another movie about that whole dynamic of meeting people. It's a comedy. It was pretty good with John Cena. Then they came out with a second one that was terrible, but you could watch the first one.
I want to see that Speak No Evil.
I do, too.
It's really good.
I just looked it up now. I'm like, I got to see this.
Yeah, it's really good. Granted, like halfway through the film, I realized it wasn't Gerard Butler as the lead role. It was that James McAvoy, who I think looks just like him, but it's a great movie. Check it out. We got a lot to do. You can always join the conversation, 713-572-4610, to text the show, get to us on YouTube and Twitch as well. Sean said, I'm in for Reggie, but we got the rest of the gang here. John Lopez makes his great return. Figgy Figs on the steel wheels. John, obviously, hope you had a great time off.
Fantastic. Couldn't have gone better.
While you were gone, couldn't have gone much better for the Astros either, at least up until
last night. How'd they do against the Dodgers? Catch me up. How'd they do against the Dodgers?
Yeah, pretty great. Pretty great 4th of July weekend. Now, look, they had the letdown last night, but in a 162-game season, I don't know how much we have to focus on one loss. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like the perfect letdown spot, perfect trap game, where you just swept the Dodgers, as you acknowledged.
It was like me. They took a rest day.
That's right.
They took a catch-up day.
That's right. They just got back from L.A., holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. You're back home. Of the Guardians coming to town, who you didn't think you had to worry about. And I was mostly impressed that lineup could even score five runs like they did. And unfortunately, they lost last night to a team that hadn't won in about 2 weeks. But still, nonetheless, this Astros team, last night's loss notwithstanding, it's been remarkable what this team has been able to do while you've been gone as well, losing more people and just continuing to win.
Yeah, look, you know, there's no complaining. Certainly not yet, anyway. You go 8-1 against the Phillies, Cubs, and Dodgers, you're in good shape. But the one thing I saw last night, this is before the game, it's not revisionist by any stretch. I said, this might be the line. This might be the line where the lineup is asking a bit much out of all these guys. Now, you said it. They dang near won the game.
Yeah.
They came back and scored enough runs to win the game. But, you know, you had Taylor Trammell. Most of his career, he's been in the minor leagues, you know, up and down. Cooper Hummel, same. Zach Short, same. Kennedy Corona, just called up, making his major league debut. Altuve had to play second base, and he made a great play, by the way. The backup catcher was playing first base. Look, this team is zombies. I love that audio that we had, that we heard yesterday, talking about the Astros being zombies. You just can't kill them. But that might be asking a bit much with that lineup.
Yeah, just to further your point and provide the data, the hitters 6-9 last night. Hummel, a career 173 hitter. Trammell, a career 163 hitter. Short, a career 172 hitter. And then Corona was making his debut, but he was batting 228 in AAA.
Yeah.
That's the second half of your lineup. Nobody hitting above the Mendoza line for their career, which is why I was impressed that they even scored five runs last night. I was not expecting much from that lineup. Fortunately, hopefully, it's only short-term. Christian Walker should be back later this week. But yeah, we've been wondering that for the last couple weeks. Like, how much can this team take on? It's almost like taking on water, you know, on a boat where eventually it's going to catch up to you. Mm-hmm. And maybe we get to that point with the Astros, but I'm not going to let that one game last night dampen the mood after what we saw over the weekend against the Dodgers, as you referenced the Cubs, the Phillies before that. And then, oh, by the way, you get Hunter Brown going tonight, so they should be able to get back on track this evening.
Yeah, they should. Absolutely. Incredible what this team is doing. I mean, you know, obviously I was on vacation keeping up as best I could as we were out there.
You weren't keeping up, man.
As best I could. I said as best I could.
You didn't have a TV out there or internet.
You know what? Our room did not have a TV, but there was one down at the little pavilion area, so we would catch up there. But the interesting thing is, I mentioned I was in the Hill Country, and again, not down where the tragedy happened, a little bit east of that. In Dripping Springs, it's amazing how little cell service you get just there. Like it's shouting distance to Austin, and so I would keep up the 18-1 game. I was like, okay, the Astros are winning. Next time I checked, it was like 14-1 or something. Like, holy crap, what's going on? But no, absolutely no complaints about this squad. They are absolute. They're the best team in baseball, and no one could have ever. No one. I don't care. The most optimistic of optimistic. I think they're going to win the division. Maybe they'll make some noise in the postseason. No one. You are lying to our faces if you say you thought this was going to happen.
Oh, for sure. I thought I was one of the more optimistic people around here at the start of the season, but even I put it at like a high 80 wins, get into the playoffs, and that was healthy, if they were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you factor in all the injuries and the names we just listed in this lineup, Fangraphs has them projected for about 93 wins, despite having the most guys on the IL right now. It's absurd what they've been able to do, which led me to wondering, during our conversation yesterday with Chris Partee, and I asked at the very end of the show, I mean, this Astros team, have they graduated from, like, fun story, for lack of a better term, where it's amazing they're pulling this off, and look at these guys they're pulling and all these injuries. Have they graduated from that to now almost like a World Series? I won't say World Series or bust, but has the expectations changed with this team that regardless of injuries, if they don't do something in October, do we view it as a disappointment now?
I think so. I think that happens a lot when you start seeing teams performing like this. And you know, we've mentioned it a couple of times already. They've beaten the best teams in the National League.
Yeah.
They've beaten the three best teams in the National League. How can your expectation not change at this point? To be able to do that, and as you mentioned, with injuries and Jeremy Peña, you know, not around as well, you have to change your expectation now.
For sure. And they've just been so good. Figgy calls them the boogeyman, as you referenced. It was Mark DeRosa on MLB Network calling them a zombie that just cannot be killed. Here's what DeRosa said on MLB Network when talking about this impressive run for the Astros despite all the injuries.
There you go. Brendan, get to work, and that's what he did. The zombie Astros. I mean, is it Hunter Brown? Come on now, or is it Justin Verlander, circa 2017? He's got a 1-8-2. He leads all qualifying pitchers. Houston's 13-4 in his starts. How about Framber Valdez?
He should have been on the All-Star team.
Yes, Framber Valdez in his last 11 starts is 9-0 with a 2.07 normally sinker curveball. He went sinker changeup.
Oh.
Keep it coming for me. Brian Abreu has a 1.52 ERA. Opponents are hitting just 169 against him with a 2.43 slug, and the ball is exploding out of his hand. Josh Hader. Remember when I backed up the bank truck for him?
I don't like this team.
Tied for the most saves in baseball with Robert Suarez. He has not blown a single save this season.
I like my favorite part of that whole thing is, and who was the female host there? I forget. But anyway, right? She spoke for so many people. She just kind of under her breath said, "I don't like this team." I don't like this team. But see, that's a factor too.
Yep.
You know, you talk about it'll be a disappointment. Could it be a disappointment? I think it will at this point, because that is a factor. The fact that they are the boogeyman, that they are zombies. You don't think the Dodgers, Phillies, and Cubs, and everybody else knows that, mm-hmm. and that in the backs of their mind collectively, that they're thinking, "Oh no, you know, we might be up 5-2." But this game is anything but over, because that's the boogeyman on the other side. It's absolutely a factor.
I think also just thinking about how much money the Dodgers spent, how much money all these other teams spent, mm-hmm. and the Astros is right there, man. They just giving these players, they're not paying these players these big contracts, mm-hmm. and they still in a race, man. They still right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I compared him yesterday to like the old school Yankees, and the reference I made was the movie Catch Me If You Can, and Christopher Walken says, you know why the Yankees always win? Because everyone's distracted by the pinstripes. And not literally talk about the pinstripes, but more of the word we used was the aura of the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And I compared it to the Patriots, the Brady Belichick Patriots, where we would always watch those games and say, like, man, the Patriots get so lucky because these other teams make these mistakes only against the Patriots. But part of that was because they're facing the Patriots, and there's that pressure that comes with facing a team like that. And I think the Astros have gotten to that point where no matter who's on the field, you're always going to fear them. You're going to treat them differently than, say, the Mariners or the Angels mm-hmm. or the A's. You're going to play differently. Might be a little tighter when you go up against the Astros because you respect what they're able to do. And they've gotten to that point now of like the Yankees of old, where no matter who the Yankees plugged into those uniforms, they always seem to perform, and you didn't want to go to Yankee Stadium. And now, that's not so much the Yankees anymore, but the Astros have that feel of no matter who's in the lineup, you're always fearful of the Astros. You know it's going to be a tough series, and you know teams might not play their best against the Astros because they are pressing against a team that they know is a really tough out, you know, in a weekend series.
I used to call it Laker bounces.
Okay,
to reference basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, the Lakers would always get the long rebound and then a putback when all you needed to do was grab the rebound.
Right.
You know, the Laker bounces were always going their way. That was, it seemed like luck, But it was also teams kind of crumbling in the aura of the Lakers or the Yankees and now the Astros. And they have an aura. You know, you looked at, you know, we mentioned Kennedy Corona and and his first, you know, his first appearance in the major league, in the major leagues. That kid looked like comfortable. Like his first at bat, he went down 0-2 in the count, worked it to 3-2 and got a walk. I mean, that's not something you're supposed to do, but it just sort of trickles into the clubhouse. You know, it's just a feeling of you're here now. We're going to do some special things. Doesn't matter if you played a game yet or not, you know?
For sure. 832 says it feels so good to be the team people hate because of this crazy
really
success.
Does.
I think maybe that's Lauren Shahadi, the female voice. I don't remember who's on that show. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, you're right. I mean, she speaks really the rest of the American League, if not all of baseball, that if you're outside of Houston, if you're not an Astros fan, you can't stand this franchise because you wonder, like, how do they keep doing this? Which takes me to my next question. Is this the most impressive? I mean, we're only halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. We have to see how it ends. But throughout this great decade run for the Astros, what they're accomplishing so far this year, is it the most impressive season they've had in this decade because of all the adversity, and yet they still have, you know, the third best record in baseball? Has this been the most impressive year so far?
You know, we started kind of dancing around this topic a couple of weeks ago, and I posed the question myself with Reggie, and I think the answer has to be yes.
I think so, too.
I think it has to be. I mean, look at who they trotted out yesterday and damn near won the game. Even look at the Dodgers series to just destroy them the way they did. With Jeremy Pena out and Yordan out and all these other injuries that we know. And the pitching, I mean, they damn near have a couple of starting pitchers, and an entire lineup injured. And they're still doing it. It has to be.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, now we'll see how it ends up. But even if it doesn't result in a World Series, the fact that they have one of the best records, they should, knock on wood, win the division, get to the playoffs. We'll see what they do in October. It's just been remarkable to lead the league and guys on the IL right now and yet be two games behind the best record in baseball. Those two things usually don't go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, though, as we talk, I know it's weird to have these conversations after a loss to a bad Guardians team last night, but we're looking at the big picture with this Astros team and how well they've played. With that said, and how good things have been, how crucial do you think it is to get some of these guys back healthy, specifically for October? Like, do you see a difference between being able to get through the summer without Yordan and Pena and some of these pitchers, and then actually being able to go perform in the playoffs if you have to do it without those guys?
This might sound weird because he's the most dangerous hitter on the planet in clutch situations, or one of them. But Yordan may not be number one for me. If he's healthy, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If we can guarantee he's going to be 100% healthy, but we know he's had setbacks and everything else. If he's healthy, absolutely. But in terms of like players that need to come back, let's start with Christian Walker, obviously paternity leave, not an injury, and then Jeremy Pena. Because those two guys, Walker just owns the Dodgers.
Yeah.
31 home runs in Dodger Stadium, something like that.
Yeah.
It's incredible. 21, whatever it is.
Seven of his last eight games there, he's homered.
Yeah, and so maybe that'll spark something. But Jeremy Pena, more than anything, you know, would be the one for me.
I actually agree. I said the same thing about a week ago, that I'd rather have Pena back than Yordan. I think I'd even rather have some of the pitchers back than Yordan, as crazy as that
sounds. But healthy Yordan, I think he's the answer.
Yeah, especially in
guarantee
October.
Guarantee health, yeah.
Yep, for sure. I know the Astros lost last night, but we're looking at the big picture. They're still playing. Last night was a classic trap game. You get Hunter Brown tonight on the mound. They should bounce back. Obviously, all is well in H-Town here with the Astros with how well they're playing. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. We started the show talking about some movies. 713 said, I'm crazy for thinking that McAvoy looked like Gerard Butler in that movie Speak No Evil. Google them. They look similar in some photos. But then they said, to be fair, I thought you were T-Mill at first. So, yeah, you're not the only one. A lot of people have thought I'm Tyler. So, in fact, my mother thought Tyler was me once, the first time she turned on a stream. Yeah,
that's even worse.
Yeah. I was
offended. Y'all do kind of look similar
I wish you hadn't said that because now I see it. I haven't seen it before.
It's funny. Man. The producer before me, Ben Gary, looked up. He said he thought that was Tyler for 3 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. White guy with a backwards hat and a beard.
Still happening. Ben, you've seen me sit here long enough.
Yeah.
Enough times. Anyways, Astros lose last night, but still the third best record in baseball. Hey, when we come back, Rafael Stone spoke to the media yesterday for the first time this offseason. We'll hear different thoughts on all sorts of topics, including why something he said yesterday still makes me concerned for one part of this Rockets roster. We'll get to that next in the loop. That's right. Happy Tuesday to you. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie, but John Lopez is back. Figgy Figs on the steel wheels. And we got audio from Raphael Stone to get to, GM of the Rockets, who spoke to the media for the first time this offseason. The Rockets making all sorts of moves here recently. Big winners of the offseason to this point. And we'll hear from the guy in charge. You can always text the show, 713-572-4610. Get to us on the YouTube and Twitch chats as well. We try to be as interactive with you as we can. Reach out to the show anytime. Obviously, the Rockets, we talked about this yesterday with Chris Partee, but with everything becoming official on Sunday, you officially get Durant, Clint Capella, and then you get that Cam Whitmore trade over the weekend as well. First, before we hear from Stone, John, what were your thoughts on the Cam Whitmore deal? Were you sad to see him go? Did you think it was expected? What'd you think?
I wouldn't say expected. No, I wouldn't go that far. But I think it was just another tell, and frankly, you're going to hear Raphael Stone tell us exactly the same thing. It was a tell, like, this is not, we're not in the business of developing anyone anymore. I mean, that's just not what we do. So once it happened, I was like, all right. I mean, it's pretty clear now. This is a finals or bust. I won't say championship or bust, but it is a finals or bust team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's hear it from the man himself. Here was Stone yesterday talking about the reasons for trading Cam Whitmore over the weekend.
I just think, yeah, we're just not a developmental team right now. It's really like we wanted to provide Cam with the opportunity to do in his career what we still believe he very much can do. So I think Cam's insanely talented, really nice young man, and wanted to provide him an opportunity to go home and be in a situation where he could really play through mistakes in a way that we never could afford him just in the iteration of the Rockets that he joined.
Yeah, I mean, he would rot on the bench, you know, and I know that's harsh, but it's an old saying in basketball. That guy's just going to have to rot on the bench, and I think that's what he would have had to do.
He was rotting on the bench last year.
Yeah, he was rotting on the bench last year.
Yeah, we dissected it yesterday. I just don't think he's a good fit for this Rockets team and where they are. I think he's going to go score a bunch of points for the Wizards, and some people may say, like, oh, we could have had him here in Houston, but he just doesn't fit what the Rockets are trying to do. Now, with that said, and I agree with Stone's comments there, I'm not going to try to pick him apart or claim he's not being honest. But the one thing I've been saying, and I'm not alone in this, throughout the offseason, is that my one concern with this roster is the guard position, specifically like the ball handler, the point guard. And to his point, I'm with him on that, which is why I'm then concerned about Reed Sheppard playing a bigger role. And I know there's a difference. Sheppard was a number three pick. Cam Whitmore was the number 20th pick, and he had already slid through the draft, and there were some other issues. He was in the doghouse, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. But I do worry about Sheppard still has to develop. So if you're not a developmental team, which I agree with, I worry about the idea of maybe that second point guard being Reed Sheppard, who I do think needs to still develop throughout this season while you're trying to win a championship.
Well, he does. I think he's going to be, of all the pieces on this squad, as much of a complete team as it's appearing to be now, that is the very obvious, it's not complete yet. And Stone said as much as well, flat out. Reed Sheppard is going to have to be very good for us, period. I mean, that was his word. So you're not wrong. I think that's the biggest question moving forward.
Yeah, it is. Now, Stone was asked, will you bring in another guard? Here's what he said yesterday.
I mean, I like our team as is. We always look for opportunities to do various things, but we're hard capped at the first apron and we have no space left. So I think very likely we'll enter the season looking very similar to the way we look at right now.
Enter the season. Remember what he said there. This is going to be a story of how good is that guard play? How good is Reed Sheppard? That's going to be the story moving forward. Now, you're in a position where you can have other guys, fill those roles in certain situations, but you still need, someone other than Van Vliet to be able to run the show. So enter the season. I think that he's being, sincere. That doesn't mean it's going to stay that way.
It's true.
Yeah.
The name I kept throwing out was Tyus Jones. He ended up signing with the Magic for 1 year, $7 million. And so I think there is a way where you could have found a way to make something like that work. Instead, they devoted a lot of their resources to obviously bring back Steven Adams. You go get Clint Capella. You add more size, and that seems to be where they're leaning towards. Let's hear Stone, the cut seven, please, Figgy. Here was Stone talking about this whole double big idea, which worked so well for them last year, and now it seems like they're leaning into it even more this year. Here's what Stone had to say about that.
For sure. We loved that lineup once we discovered it last year. We thought it was really, really effective for us. Also, Clint just adds something we don't have in terms of being kind of a center who can move a little bit easier on the perimeter, also as a lob threat. Finally, we just think depth is super important, and as we're trying to make it through the season, we don't want there to be a huge drop-off. So we did not anticipate going into free agency that we would be able to get Clint, but we're ecstatic when that materialized.
I mean, you guys know, I've been a big fan of the double big line. I'm trying to remember the timeline. It really wasn't until January, right?
Yeah.
Until they really started digging in on that, and then they sort of tinkered with it for a few games, and then it became very obvious that it was good and effective. And so now, you know, you're almost even more encouraged because they really didn't even have a full season of implementing it. They've got better players, and I thought it was very key what he said there about Capella being able to do other things, especially when you have, you know, a good passer like Şengün and Durant can do some things, obviously, as well, who can go to the rim for lobs as well. He can start outside or inside as the double big. I think that's going to be that's the most exciting thing for this team, for me, for this team going in, is how the double bigs should get even better.
Yeah, they should. And to your point, Capella is the most athletic of that trio, so that helps. Obviously it worked really well last year. I like the idea of the double big. My concern is just leaning too much into it and ignoring what we've already talked about of that guard position, where you add Clint Capella, where I don't, maybe that's more of a luxury than a need. And I still, maybe they'll prove me wrong, I still feel like you need a veteran behind Fred VanVleet more so than Reed Sheppard. Maybe Reed will prove me wrong though.
No, I don't disagree, but I also feel what it does do is it makes the offense run a little bit more through the high post, or specifically Şengün. And so it kind of mitigates just how much the point guard has to run the show versus maybe getting the ball to the right person and spotting up. What does Reed Sheppard do? Spots up.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's what their philosophy is.
Yeah, we'll see how it all. By the way, Reed Sheppard is playing in the summer league, so I'm sure he'll go off and people will get really excited there, but we'll see how this offense all meshes together. Before we go, let's hear a little more from Stone. Obviously, the big move this offseason was trading for Kevin Durant. That involved moving on from Jalen Green. Let's first, Figgy, do a cut five, please. Here's Stone on what went into the decision to trade for Kevin Durant and bring him to Houston.
It's Kevin Durant. You know, I think he's really good. He's super efficient. He had a great year last year, so I mean, he's obviously not he's not 30 anymore, but he hasn't really fallen off, and we just think we think he has a chance to really be impactful for him.
The question that you didn't hear was what went into the thought process? What was the thought process for acquiring Kevin Durant? He's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
If you could get him how they did without giving up too much, like go get him and bring him in and see if this could all work out. Now, obviously, Jalen Green goes out in that deal. Figgy, cut four from Stone, please, on the GM talking about trading Jalen Green away, obviously getting them Durant. Here's what he had to say about Green.
Was it a difficult decision to move on from Jalen Green?
Yeah, like Jalen's awesome. He did everything we asked. He's a wonderful combination of talent and work ethic, along with being just a great human being. And any time that you have the privilege to work with someone who is talented and works really hard and is really nice, you should value it. And so for organizationally, we've valued him tremendously. So, yeah, very hard.
And that was a silly question, huh?
Did he do too much there? Was he trying to sell it to? Yeah.
Yeah, are we buying that?
Was it a difficult decision to move on from Jalen Green?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever your voice goes up like that.
I don't know if it was that difficult.
You're usually lying.
That must have been a silly question.
And he just said, it's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And then he goes, yeah.
Like
that stood out to me. I don't know.
That's a lot.
That's a little suspicious. There was a short-lived show on Fox 20 years ago called Lie to Me, where a guy could detect when people were lying. I think
that would have been a tell.
Yeah.
That's a tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great drop, though. It's a great drop to have. On the text line, 832 says, everyone's overlooking Aaron Holiday. Now, he does add LOL, but I think he's being honest because he then says, Holiday's played good basketball as our backup point guard, and fill in guy when he was out of the roster. I don't know. Then the Texans get screwed up.
No, but Reggie's a big fan of Aaron Holiday. I don't mind him, but I think you could have upgraded like you're talking about. Or let's Reed Sheppard be the upgrade.
Yeah.
You know,
I think he's going to have to be.
Or if you talk about championship or finals or bust, hey, look at Chris Paul, man.
Yeah,
Chris
Paul. He's out there.
Yeah, he's clearly on the this is my last year.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I see people talking about that. I don't think I want Chris Paul.
As a backup?
No, I don't think I want him on my roster. I feel like he's almost like a kiss of death for these teams. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want him.
Yeah.
He's good for...
He's never been to a finals either. Or he been to one, I think, with Phoenix. That year Phoenix was in the finals, right?
He was on that squad?
Yeah, was he on that team? I guess so.
Mm-hmm. I think so. But he ain't have a chance.
No.
No, it usually doesn't end well with him in the locker room around the roster. I like Holiday. I still don't think that is the best option or the guy that's going to get you over the top. We'll see. Maybe it's Reed Sheppard. I just worry for exactly what he said about Cam Whitmore. Mm-hmm. We're not here to develop guys. We're trying to win a championship. But then you also have to develop Reed Sheppard. So hopefully it works out. But that's just my concern. Time for the question of the day. What's the most uncomfortable thing about traveling right now? And not necessarily just talking about air travel and taking your shoes off and taking your laptop out of your bag, all that sort of stuff. Anything. Once you get to the destination, if it's a road trip, any sort of travel, what's the most uncomfortable thing about your travels these days? Let us know. 713-572-4610. We'll get to those responses when we come back. It's In the Loop. What's the most uncomfortable thing about traveling? Not just necessarily the common air travel, reclining seats, all that sort of stuff, but the most uncomfortable thing about traveling. Once you get to your trip, what do you dislike the most about traveling or vacation these days? You can text the show 713-572-4610. Also, let us know in the YouTube and Twitch chats, and we'll get to the best answers here throughout, throughout the show. John, obviously, you just came back from a nice vacation. Leads to this question of the day. So what jumped out to your mind after just traveling? What was the worst part?
Who's getting on your nerves?
Yeah, that's right.
No one got on my nerves. It was truly, like, knock on wood, it always is this way. It was perfect, but nobody cares about that. It was just a great, great vacation. But the dynamic aspect is kind of what I'm talking about. And this has to do with, you know, one of the little things that is always bothersome that is going to go away. TSA announced this morning that they're phasing out taking off your shoes at the TSA checkpoint. Man, I'm telling you, that's always, and you know, guys know I very rarely wear socks. So you're walking around that old dirty, nasty floor barefoot.
That's the reason to wear socks when you're catching
really
the flight.
It really is.
Yeah.
But I don't. And then you're sticking your shoes in that box and, you know, on top of your laptop, and then you got to go tie them on. And
the worst is when somebody in front of you wait to the very last minute to start untying the shoes. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on, man. Just go on and get it out the way.
Yeah, yeah. And there's always...
Wear some slippers or something, man.
The occasional odor waft up into the air. But I'm talking about, like, the dynamic and a couple of things, because, we, you know, Sean just came off vacation. I just came off vacation. And like I said, it was perfect. It was great. It was awesome. I can't wait to do it again. But the little things where you're like, all right, where do y'all want to eat tonight? We have, keep in mind, I have two sons and a daughter. They're all married. I have three grandkids. Everybody was on the trip, and then me and my wife. And we're sitting there. Now, we cooked a couple times, and that's always good because everybody can cook their favorite or whatever. But we did go out, and it's like, well, do they have chicken nuggets for the babies? Do they have this or that? Well, you know, my wife is a pescatarian. Do they have seafood? And, you know, I don't like this, and I want that. And it wasn't bothering me. It was just like, took an hour just to decide where to go, you know?
Oh, yeah. I can relate. Even if it's just me and the significant other, we take an hour or two. My trick, the trick I always recommend to people for smaller groups, it doesn't work with a big family, is that you say, like, when you're wondering where to go out to eat, and you put it on them by saying, like, where do you think we're going out to eat?
Yeah.
And then they give you a clue, like, barbecue? And you're like, yeah, we're going to barbecue.
You guessed it. And then the other thing is, when you have little babies, and I have one that's a little over a year and one that's 6 months, a grandkid, when are they going to be napping?
Yes.
Because you got to craft it around the nap, you know, the nap time and all that stuff. So they're not grumpy. And a texter actually said that, just one word. Babies. Babies are a problem. But the other one that was just so funny to me is like you can kind of see people working. And this happened Sunday when we're packing up. Like I'm lugging luggage and golf clubs and crates of leftover food into the truck. And there's always like one, like, I think I'll rinse off the dishes, or I'll make sure we got everything out of this house, or the, you know that, like, dude, start lifting stuff, man. Let's start carrying things.
I'm the opposite. I only do that. I will do the packing. I'm not doing the cleaning up around the house. Yeah. Other people do that, but when everything's ready to go, I'll carry it out to the car. Everyone's bags
yeah,
for you.
I'm the same way too. Y'all do the dishes yes. and all that's to clean up yeah. and straighten up. Mm-hmm. I carry all the stuff to the car. Just get out the way.
What about the paying dynamic? If you're now, it's not just families, but like couples, you know, going on vacation.
Yeah.
And it's always like you don't know what to say. Like, yeah, you want to split this?
It's always awkward, yeah. man.
I got this one, you got the next. I mean,
and you could tell when the waitress come out there, she be like, check. And she you could tell they make it a little awkward.
Yeah.
And be like, just us two. No, just us two or just me.
Yeah.
Oh. I hate when they ask. I hate, especially right off the bat. Like, we doing separate checks tonight? Like, don't put that pressure on me. Let us decide when it comes time to paying the bill. We'll say, like, oh, I got this, or we'll split it, whatever. But don't put that pressure on me right off the bat.
Or someone, this happened, this wasn't on this trip, but I heard about this last week. Some friends of mine, like, there were three of them. There was three couples. And one went to the bathroom, or two went to the bathroom, the same couple, and the check came. So they split it with just the two.
So the one
couple got a free meal.
They knew what they were doing. They knew.
Them alligator arms.
The old alligator arms.
They saw the waitress walking over. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that water went right through me.
I got to go. Don't you got to go? Yeah, let's go.
That reminds me of that episode of the 2.5 Men where Charlie Sheen's brother was never paying for anything. So he'd go to the bathroom. So Charlie Sheen followed him to the bathroom while he was over there trying to stall out on the check.
Yeah, I remember that. It's true.
Yeah. But the other thing that's always a little bit awkward is when you're finally trying to get somewhere. Like, we went to an olive, you know, oil place and a winery and a beer garden and all this other
stuff. Y'all go antiquing?
No, God, no. They did. I didn't. I stayed home. But like trying to figure out like the car situation, even just the car situation. Well, I don't have a car seat. They do. And oh God, it's just ridiculous. But it can be a little awkward on those.
That reminds me. Yeah. The last time I was on a trip with my college friends and we didn't have a car. We all traveled to a city. Getting the Ubers. Nobody wanted to step up and get like the Uber. We needed multiple Ubers. Mm-hmm. And it was so annoying. And I had to get the Uber every time just because no one, it was like a game of chicken. Everyone's just waiting to see who's finally going to give in. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. We have to go. I'm going to get
we
the
did
Uber.
That in Vegas, remember? I was just like,
I wasn't there.
But I was just like, I'll get the Uber. Yeah. It was like, you want to get this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody's sitting around.
Yeah.
Like,
anybody no one wants to do it. Yeah.
Anybody call an Uber? Yeah. Just wait for the first person. I do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you guys something about this TSA policy. Because there was a little bit of me. Most of my reaction was very positive. Good, I don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Is there a little piece of you that's like, are we sure we're good?
I know.
Are we sure we're good? You know?
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, I don't. People always say, like, how much is TSA really doing? And we've all gotten things through, not weapons, but like things that aren't supposed to, that they don't pick up on. And then, so you always wonder, like, how good of a process is it really? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm all for more security to make sure I'm safe when I'm getting on a plane. So I'm all good. I'll take the shoes off. I wear like slip-ons now just for that purpose of just taking them right off. So no problem for me.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think the thing that irritated me the most was, and I think they're getting away from this too because of the stuff they're bringing in, but they're taking the laptops out, man. That's the part. I'm like, man, we in 2025, man. Y'all ain't got no machines that can look and see that this is just a laptop and nothing else.
And it's always way in there in your backpack.
Yes. Yeah. So
it's never just then, like right on the outside.
And then it's a little tricky now because some airports tell you to keep your laptop in there.
And some don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get comfortable, be like, all right, keep my laptop in. Like, take your laptop.
Yeah.
Laptops out. Laptops, iPads out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, man.
They get mad at you when you don't get it right.
Yeah. I'll be irritated. And then when
it's
you
like
take it out,
policies.
Leave your laptop in the bag.
Yes, one. Which? What is it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Which one
I'm
is
like,
it?
Damn, man. Like, can we all get on one page?
Now, this is one that's interesting. I know it happens with a lot of younger people traveling. It happened with us once. Like, we went to the brewery there at Jester King or whatever it was called in Dripping Springs, and I knew I was going to be drinking some beer because I've been looking forward to it or whatever. Yeah. I did not want to drive. like figuring out who's going to drive when you go, whether it's out or, in this case, a brewery or something like that. And then, ultimately, I had to drive, so I only had like two beers. I was like, "Dang, man, I wanted to kind of get."
Dang, everybody else is going in
because of the car seat situation. Everybody else is getting, you know, a good buzz on. I'm like, well, I guess I'll eat some more pizza.
Yeah, I think the thing is too with your kids having kids and all that stuff. That's their chance to get blitzed.
True. Yeah, man, that's why I didn't mind.
So, like, oh yeah, you could go to grandma and grandpa.
Actually, Natalie spent the night with us that night.
Yeah, they missed those times. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's what they were looking forward to that whole vacation.
Yeah,
grandpa and grandma's gonna be with us. Perfect.
Yeah, no, I remember somebody who had some kids, and they did not want nobody to watch their kids because they were just so into the kids.
Yeah.
As the years go on, now they trying to drop the kids off to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Just so they could get a drink and all that other stuff. And just like,
Oh, the first kid, second kid dynamic is awesome, too. Like, the first kid, they're just hovering and all extra protective. Second kid's like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just give them a pepperoni.
Here you go. I'll be back and be gone for hours.
Yeah. Whatever. As the third son, I know it well from my upbringing. It was great. I could do whatever I want. Yeah. I jotted down a couple. I think unpacking. After you get home, I hate the unpack. And then I'm one of those people that, like, I just live out of my suitcase for the next 2 weeks
because
I'm too lazy to actually get to the unpacking.
Mm-hmm.
And the checking in process really annoys me, where you can't check in most places until like 3 p.m. if it's a hotel. Even Airbnbs are like noon. Mm-hmm. And then you have to change your whole travel schedule to time it out perfectly. You don't want to get there too early and like, well, what are we going to do for an hour? And if it's a long drive, it's hard to time. I hate that. It keeps getting shorter and shorter.
Yes, the window.
Yeah.
Like, you check out at 11, but check in at 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It takes you that long to get the room ready.
I think if you check in at 3, you should check out at 3.
Mm-hmm. I know. Or give me 24 hours.
Or if you got to check out at 11, you should be able to check in at 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times it's check-ins at like 4, check-outs at 10. You know, it's like, what are we doing here? A lot of texts coming. Someone says they travel with 3 laptops. That's brutal.
Ooh,
to take
man,
all those
goodness
out.
Goodness gracious. And you got to put them in a separate little bin.
Yes, that's the
you
worst
You can't put
part.
Them in all. You, so you're going down with 5 bins.
Oh, this is a really good one from the YouTube channel. When you do have kids and they want to take them to like a theme park or a water park, I'm like, y'all go have fun. Y'all have a hell of a time.
Y'all ain't nobody about to take y'all.
I'm going to the winery.
I don't care.
I'm going to the winery. Y'all have fun at that splash town.
I remember my parents, we used to have like an indoor amusement park that would come once a year or a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Man, she used to sit at this one table. Y'all go head on.
Yeah.
I'll be right here.
Somebody said the money is the most uncomfortable.
Can be.
Yeah, sure can. Mm-hmm. Travel within your budget.
The one thing I used to hate, too, I don't know if this fit in with it, but whenever you driving somewhere and somebody want to stop and actually have lunch.
Let's
just get to the destination, man. Like, I understand stopping at a gas. If I stop at the gas station, use the bathroom, get what you need, and get back on the road.
Let's go.
Nah, we not getting off on the exit, and then, let's go to Denny's.
Let's just get a table.
Like, that's an hour, 2 hours right
let's
there,
just
man.
Just get a table and enjoy lunch.
Yeah, no, nah, man.
I don't want to enjoy lunch.
We in the middle of nowhere, man. Nah, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's got to be a one-stop shop. Gas, bathroom, food, all at the same time.
If I got to stop to get gas, that's y'all cue to go to the bathroom, get your snacks, water, all that stuff, man.
I'm with you.
Like, I ain't about to keep stopping.
For sure. What's the most uncomfortable thing about traveling? You can continue to text in 713-572-4610. Also send your messages on the YouTube and Twitch chats as well. We'll continue to get to any noteworthy answers that come in. When we come back, time to go around the NFL, including one former Texan finally got their ring. We'll talk about it next here on In the Loop.